Welcome to the podcast of Trinity Church London. You're listening to a message given on a Sunday morning. If you'd like to know more about us and the life of the church, please visit trinitychurchlondon.com.
I want to ask you this question as I start, and I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask you, are you thirsty for more of God? Is anyone thirsty for more of God? Is anyone here thirsty to see more of the kingdom breaking out in our city and the nations? Is there any kind of rousing in our hearts, any even growing faith for God to do something beyond the normal routine of life? I want to pray for us because I think God wants to take us further into his presence. Okay, so Father, I want to say thank you for today. I want to thank you for the gift of music that stirs our hearts and brings us back to the singular point of our Savior Jesus Christ once again. And pray, Lord, in this moment, I pray, Lord, this room is cold. It's not a great room to be sat in right now. I pray, Lord, that spiritually you would bring a temperature to this moment, Lord, that is not based on hype or moment, but based on the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, Ezekiel was taken into deep waters, and there are some of us in this room, Lord, that really would love to put our hand up and say we'd like to be swimming in those deep waters. And so I pray, Lord, be with us, be with me. Lord, we want to follow you. So be with us in this moment, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the promises that's dear to us as a church, if you've been around, is Habakkuk 2:14, where in a dark moment in life, the Lord promises through Habakkuk that one day the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That is, there will be a day, one day in the future, where there will be no inch of this world where you could walk and not be saturated in the glory and the knowledge and the beauty and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. That you could not go into any office, into any home, walk down any street and not know the Lord's presence everywhere. It's a promise that the Lord himself has bound himself to. It's not for us an inspirational quote. You know, it's not like put this up on your mirror or, you know, my watch these days. It tells me every morning, feeling tired this morning? You've got this. Go for it. And it actually does help. Sometimes I read the Bible and it's like, come on, God, the Garmin really works. I need the Bible. You know, really, it's not like that. Like, all this really inspirational for today. It is actually a promise about the end of world history. It shapes how we organize our emotions and our lives and our diaries and our life as a church with this knowledge that the end of the world is not going to end with climate change or wars. It is going to end with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord when Christ comes back, covering the face of the earth. This organizes everything for us. And we know that in this moment that we live in, we are not there yet, anyone. We are living in a spiritual drought. London, for all of its money and shiny buildings and cars and opportunities and jobs and excitement and busyness and tourism and banter, and for all of the noise of London, it is actually a spiritual wilderness. People are taking up careers, trying to drink from them, thinking that their thirst will be quenched. Taking up a relationship after relationship, social media, or pursuit of this or this, and opportunities and experiencing, and all the time experiencing spiritual thirst. Because while we're promised one day that the earth will be flooded with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, today there is a drought. Jeremiah explains this and what's going on. He says in Jeremiah 2 that explains sociologically and spiritually what is happening in this moment. And he says, my people have committed two evils. He says, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. So the one to whom all of our thirst can be quenched, we've forsaken that fountain. And we've hewed out for ourselves cisterns that are broken, that can hold no water. He's saying that we've, in a sense, we're trying to have this spiritual thirst, this emotional emptiness filled, And yet we're picking up the wrong cisterns. We're picking up mugs that have holes in the bottom, and we think we're going to get it. And by the time we're drinking, we're already thirsty because it's not meant to hold what only the Lord can hold. He himself is the fountain of living waters. And this prophecy that Heloise read for us is a prophecy of hope that directs our attentions, because Ezekiel sees in a spiritual wilderness a temple placed by the Lord, that from it this river of living water will flow, and wherever it goes, life will be birthed, until one day the river gets so deep and so wide that it fills the whole earth, so that Ezekiel is just swimming in the river. He promises this day is gonna come. What Ezekiel didn't probably know is that he was actually prophesying about the Lord Jesus Christ when he saw this temple. He was prophesying the Messiah who was to come years after him, who himself would come as the living temple, the one who would come between God and us and be the meeting place for us and God. And in his body, in his temple, he himself would be the source of living waters. So that when he was crucified for our lack and our wrongdoing and our forsaking of the fountain of living water, in his body, he would become a fresh spring of living water, so that from his side would flow waters that flow to this day across the nations, slowly filling the face of the earth. We live in hope, brothers and sisters, that we will not always live in a dry wilderness. And the means that the Lord uses to see this river flow and deepen and widen is the church. It's brothers and sisters joined in community together, like you and I, established in a place to see this river established. I was reminded as we were praying this morning of Ephesians chapter 1 that talks about the church, and then says something at the very end of Ephesians 1, something crazy. Paul says this about us. He says, he, the Father, put all things under the feet of Jesus and gave him as head over all things to the church, that's us, which is Christ's body. And then he says, that's us, the fullness of him who fills all in all. That we, the body of Christ, one day will fill every square inch of the face of the earth. You look around today and you think, really? Like, there's 100 of us in this room, and you know, there's like millions of people out in London, let alone the nations, and yet the promise is it will be his people as a living river that will flood the earth when Christ comes home. And for us in this moment, really, our story is a God story. It's a moment where, like when Ezekiel saw this temple formed, it was a work of God. It's a supernatural temple. Trinity, for most of us here, is a surprising thing. It was started by the Lord when he spoke to a few of us, and then a few more of us, and then a few more of us. And some, like 8 years ago, and then when we started Sundays 6 years ago, it was in a sense the Holy Spirit sticking a spade in the ground to dig a spring of the Holy Spirit, so that from us another tributary of this river of the Holy Spirit would be formed to enlarge and deepen the river of God in this city. I was struck last week as we were worshiping, thinking, like, the very existence of Trinity Church London, us existing is a sign of hope for this city. I hadn't really struck me like that before. Like, even the fact that we're here, that there is a church established after 6 years, is a symbol, a sign from God that he has plans for London. That there is hope for this city, that he is doing a work, that he is not finished with our nation, that there is more to come. He hasn't started this for no reason. There is purpose. And at the beginning of the year, we were talking, and the sense that we had is that we're in a moment where the river of God that is flowing with us and through us as a church was rising. We were a young church, so my sense was it was like thigh high, going a bit further. But it was rising. There was a sense in which the work of God was rising amongst us. And it was more of a sense than anything tangible. And I think maybe a year or so later, there are some tangibles that we can look back on and see the Lord has been raising the waters amongst us for a purpose. Would you like me to share some of those?
Yeah.
All right, thanks. Okay. The first one is this. Back when we first talked about that, we were living in a deficit financially. In fact, we had been living in a deficit, the trustees will tell you, from the very beginning. And not just any old deficit, a deficit of somewhere between £2,000 to £4,000 every month. So as a church, we had been given a large financial gift to get Trinity Church London started. And we have been using this gift as our buffer, as the church has been dug deep and the rivers have been springing up from this new spring, Trinity Church London. And the trustees have been watching this reserve dwindling and dwindling and dwindling. I'm looking at Chris because he looks at it very particularly with his skill set and experience. And in February, I think for the first time on a normal month, we broke even. And then in March, we broke even. And I think, if I'm right to say, every month since then, we have not just broken even, but we have been in a surplus every month, which is a massive deal. Amen. We should applaud this. And I know, like, trustees get twitchy if you feel too positive about a surplus. But it does mean something for us. It does mean a season change, because we have essentially been building a church with our backs financially against the wall, praying that the Lord will provide to sustain us as the river starts to flow. And yet now we're in a situation where most months at this point now, we are in a surplus and we are not now digging into reserves, but we are building reserves up, which can only mean there is a new season for us for how we are to approach the mission of this church. There is a new moment of faith and expectation. And what is it that you want to do with us? Because we're not just going to sit like the dwarves under a cave, just accumulating wealth for no reason. So that's the Lord of the Rings. I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry. There is no point in sitting on money. So if the Lord is allowing us to have some money for the first time, what is it that he wants to do with us? Where is the flow going to take us if the deepening of the waters is happening in this way? That's the first thing. The second thing is this. I think we can all recognize that in the last year we have seen a rising of the waters in our corporate worship together. That there has been a growing temperature amongst us and a growing in our use of spiritual gifts as we have gathered together in our midst. We made a very subtle but I think important shift that in our 10-15 prayer meetings, we used to pray almost every week for the preacher and the worship leader, which is understandable. They prepared all week, they got things to bring, but we used to pray for them. But we just made a very small shift to say, actually, we're not going to just pray for these two, we're going to pray for all of us. Because we believe that when we gather together, each one has something to bring. And so there has been this beautiful, I think, decentering, which the band have led us in, away from the band to us as the body of Christ. And we have gone some steps deeper into the presence of God. Some of us who have been in moments of worship, have experienced the Lord amongst his people, have a hunger and a thirst, amen, to know him like that again. I think when you've had high watermarks with the Lord, it stays with you. And there is always this sense of holy dissatisfaction to know him then again in that moment. But I think we've seen a breakthrough in that. We've seen a breakthrough in the expectations of what it looks like to worship together that we now need to walk in, that we now need to see deepen and be fulfilled amongst us. So there's worship. Thirdly, a really practical one, and this is more recent for us, it's our leadership capacity. back at the weekend away, as we mentioned before, we came away with this real burden that we have to develop leadership at Trinity Church. If we are going to grow and see people discipled and be on mission, we have to develop more leaders, see people equipped, raised up, and released. And one of the small things, but I think is significant, it's been significant for me, is for the last like two or so years, every Tuesday morning, me, Toria, Honor Hilly, and Charles have met. And it's been great. And we've aimed to steward the life of the church, mainly in the practicals in those moments. But as of the last few weeks, there will be also now Marcio joining us on a Tuesday morning. Also Stephen joining us as our first ever intern, which I think needs an applause. Liz has also said that she's going to be involved in a new integration team that Marcio is going to be leading. And Roshan, who some of you know, who is at the moment in Dubai trying to pass his final driving test in Dubai, he's going to be with us soon. I don't know why the Dubai kids are laughing. It's probably some in-joke from Dubai. But anyway, Roshan is going to be joining that team, which means we will have gone from 4 to 8 people on a Tuesday, which is a doubling. Which I think is a breaking of the dam for us, and it certainly is for me in mentality-wise, in terms of how we view team and leadership. That I don't think this is for us a step change to stay with the status quo for another 2 years, but is in a sense is a dam breaking on how we need to bring in, equip, release teams and leaders to help serve and carry responsibility in the church. But the leadership capacity is beginning to grow amongst us. Fourthly, people have been buying property in London. Praise God. From the very beginning of the church, we have been praying for people to be able to buy property in London. Because it's one of the things that everyone moans about or rolls their eyes about. You think pigs will fly, that will never happen. And we felt like we're here for the long term. We want to put roots down. God told the exiles in Babylon to, when they were there in exile, not just like gather into a holy huddle, but no, build homes, live in them, plant trees, have families, have babies, settle down, seek God in exile. And so for some of us, you've come from other nations and you don't quite feel at home, and yet there is this calling on you because the Lord has called you to London for this season to buy property. And the prayer that we have been praying for years has just begun to be answered in so many different ways. So let me just say a few people who we can celebrate who have bought homes over the last year. You know this, but let me just read them out. Elias and Albina. Amazing. An answer to prayer. And actually looking for a new place, moving more central. So if you want to pray or you want a flat, talk to them because they're moving and they want to host a community group. So God bless you guys. Richard and Zara have managed to buy a place. Ale and Bruna have managed to buy a place. Gabrielle and Sarah, who aren't here, but we praise God for them. And there are some homes in the pipeline, so we still need to pray for Finney and Heloise, who are like millimeters close, I think. Yuna, who is not here, Marcio and Carol, Bruno and Raquel, who are very close to buying a place in King's Cross, and there are a few others that Toria said, don't name everybody, they might not want to be named yet. But we praise God for this. This is God's provision. This is God's city. And for us spiritually to say, actually, as a Christian, I'm going to put a stake in the ground here. I'm going to take some ownership of the city. While I'm here, I will be here, present, seeking the kingdom in this place, not always living in another world, but here. And so we thank God for this and we pray that this will be a pattern that will happen. And for those of you who think pigs may fly, we thought the same two once and God has provided. So you never know what God will do. Fifthly, we've been able to support Regions Beyond and church planting in new ways for us. As the income has increased, so we have wanted to slowly increase the giving to Regions Beyond and to supporting church planting. So we've given a small gift to the church plant in Penang. We've set up for the first time a mission fund, which these little things, they feel small, but I think in years to come, they're moments that just mark a trajectory. That to have a, in the budget, a mission fund says something significant, where you put your money where your heart is, right? And so for us, there's just this little statement to say, we want to be about this. And so we've been able to support Pete and Liz, particularly as they are helping church planting, and we want to continue to do that, knowing that we have a role to play as they go and we send and support them. That from this place, there will be an increasing work with Regions Beyond. Even in a few weeks' time, we're going to be sending a carload to Birmingham. Of all places, Birmingham. How far does the Lord's love spread? But we're going to be going to support Abdullah and Namrata as they help plant a church in South Birmingham, because we want to see this increase. These are all ways in which we just sense the river rising. And so what I want to do with the rest of our time is just ask this question: how do we steward a moment like this, if this is true? If the Lord is raising the waters amongst us, how do we steward this moment? And I just want to suggest three things. The first is this: we need to be ready for change. We need to be ready for change. Because it's interesting where this river, it seems to meander. Because Ezekiel says twice in this prophecy, wherever the river goes. And there is this sense in which the river is moving over here and there is life springing up. And then wherever it goes, and it seems to meander over here, and then there's life springing up over here, and then it meanders here. That this river is not a straightforward A to B as the crow flies. There is a wherever it flows, which Jesus tells us about the Holy Spirit, doesn't he? He says the Holy Spirit is like the wind. He blows wherever he wills. We can't control him. Which is why we can't particularly strategize church, because we are at the whim of the Lord. He is the one who blows on us, which is why we call on him. And if it's the Lord's river and not our strategizing, there is an unpredictability to it and a willingness on our behalf, if we're going to follow the river, to change. So if we're walking over here with the Lord, but wherever the river flows, you think the river's flowing over here. And you think, no, this is how we do church. So I'm going to carry on walking over here. Thanks very much. And suddenly you find the river's flowing over there. And because of our own desires to hold on to a church tradition and church practice, and this is the way we do things, and we miss what the Lord is doing in taking us this way. But for us, we have to be willing to say, okay, if that is the way that the Lord is flowing, we're going to walk that way now. He's walking left. Okay, we're going to walk left. Terry Virgo was once asked, probably lots of times he has been asked, Terry Virgo, who started New Frontiers, which is now a family of churches of thousands, tens of thousands of churches across the nations. And he said that he was asked, I'm sure many times, but you know, how did you see so many churches started? Like, what was the secret? And he said in his own, imagine, you know, if you know Terry, he said, we just kind of followed our noses. And you expect, you know, how this man has planted so many churches and seen so many leaders raised up and the kingdom advance in all these nations. You know, what was the secret, Terry Virgo? And he said, no, we just kind of followed our noses. Basically, if the Lord was leading us here, we did this. If he led us there, we did that. If he spoke this, we obeyed and we just did that. We just followed the Lord. And I mentioned, well, Hannah and I were chatting at the beginning of the service, and she said, oh, we've been in this place for 4 years, Coin Street, which is true. We came here first week in January 2020, so almost 5 years now, which is actually quite a long time. And I want to suggest that as a church, we have got quite used to things being very similar. Am I preaching to anyone? And for some of us who have been around for a while, what can happen is our expectation that things will change just shrinks and shrinks, and you just expect it to be like this. And it will be like this, and it will be like this. But where the Holy Spirit is at work, you can always expect there to be change. Sometimes slow change, sometimes change that happens in a moment that takes you off guard. Let me ask you a question. Who in the room, put your hands up, likes change here? Some people do. Okay. Depends on what change. And it depends on if you're doing the change or not, or if you're... Who doesn't like change? Who likes things just to stay? There's no morality. All right, okay, that's good. All right. So the problem is, for the people who like change, and some people just love change, like they're already bored of this sermon, they want a new sermon, you know, like, it's just, they always want a new thing, like, just when's the next thing going to happen, like, and for you, what you can do is you can moralize your love of change, and you say, well, I'm full of faith and vision, not like those stuck in the muds, they always want it the same, you know, and you moralize your love of change as like a more godly outlook. And you look down on those who don't really like. And then the other ones who don't like change, you can moralize your position. And you say, well, actually, those ones who always love change, they don't really care about people. They never think things through. They're kind of reckless. They just don't really understand the traditions of the church and what needs to happen. And moralize that position. You realize that change in and of itself is not a godly thing. Following the Lord, that's the godly thing. And so when the Lord asks us to stay faithful in a moment, we stay faithful. And when he asks us to move in a moment, we move. We change. And so it's him that we're looking to. And for those of us who love change, we might jump at it. For those of us who don't like change so much, we might like have to think it through and really is this. But our question always is the Lord leading us in this moment? We are not going to change things just for the sake of change. But I think there are some plot twists to come in the life of Trinity Church London. I have nothing up my sleeves, literally. I have nothing up my sleeves. I've not got a big announcement to make in 2 minutes. It's just, I don't think it's going to be like this all the time. We want people to become Christians, don't we? We want people to be baptized. We want people to be discipled. We want London to come to know the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, which is going to mean at some point that this room is not big enough, which means we're going to have to find a new venue, or we're going to have to do a second service, or God's going to have to provide a miracle somewhere along the way. But something is going to change. There are going to be more people that we're going to have to love and get to know. For some of us, that's hard because we know there's a kind of, sometimes in London, there's so many people to get to know, you can begin to kind of quit on making new friendships. You think, I don't want to do it anymore. But there'll be actually, no, there's changes. Leadership structures might have to change. You might have to step into things. You might have to step into new things. Change will come. And so what I want to ask us at this moment is, are we thirsty enough for the Lord and his kingdom that we would be ready to respond when he leads us left or right? Because that's really the question. Do I want the Lord and his kingdom more than I want things like how I want things? Am I ready to follow him? And even to start thinking through scenarios. I think it's helpful, just prod your own heart. If you're resistant to certain things, prod your heart and ask, why am I resistant to that? What am I going to gain? What am I going to lose? If I'm excited, why am I excited? What am I going to gain? What am I going to lose? Ask yourself and ready ourselves that when the Lord asks us to do a new thing, we may be ready. Amen, church. We may be those who say, like in the Old Testament, the prophets, here I am, Lord. You call me, I'm here. Timid maybe, uncertain, what are you going to do? But I'm here and ready and I'll obey, I'll go. So that's the first thing we need as a church, to be ready for change. The second way in which we're going to steward this work of God is that we need to expect great things from God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Expect great things from God. William Carey, who in the 1800s mobilized a growing army of men and women who would go to India and then beyond on mission. He saw a church that was stuck in its ways in England, and through sheer force of prayer and preaching and personality and determination, he mobilized so much of the English church to be in overseas mission church planting. And he preached one famous sermon from Isaiah 54. And he read these words. He said to the church in England back in those days, enlarge the place of your tent and let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your offspring will possess the nations, and you will people the desolate cities. And as he preached from this passage, he told the church two things. He said, firstly, church, expect great things from God. And then secondly, he said, attempt great things for God. Expect and attempt. And my question is for us, are we expecting God to do great things with us as Trinity Church London? Let me share some personal reflection, because as you know, I'm getting into my midlife groove right now and getting all reflective over my vast and expansive life. And no, but it's been real for me just the last year or so, because there is a sense in which the church is now planted, some of the seasons of our life has changed, and 40 for me has meant some things, just reflection. And I think over the last few years, I have not called us to believe that God will do great things with us. Can you hear that? If you hear me rightly, this is my reflection. You can, oh, Daniel, don't be stupid. You know, pat me on the back if you want to later. But this is my reflection. I want to be real. For lots of reasons. English people, they don't like hyperbole, you know, don't like big rah-rah talks. And I know my heart, because there is this thing in church life that the bigger the better, you know. So I've been so wary of talking about numbers and growing, because we want to disciple people and be on mission, and the Lord will deal with the numbers, right? So I know I've been wary of that. I don't want to fall into this sinful grabbing of a bigger church, just because a bigger church is no more godly than a smaller church, and a smaller church is no more godly than a bigger church. But I also do wonder if there's been a little bit of a lack of leadership courage on my behalf, just being honest. Because when you step out into moments like that, you are in a sense by yourself and hoping that other people will be with you. Does that make sense? You're like, do you believe the same thing that I believe? And, you know, like, check my heart. I'm not in it for myself. I really do want to be for the kingdom. And we don't know our own heart properly. But I do know that God has been working on me through a number of means to free me from the perception that other people may have of me, of wanting a bigger church just for me. The Lord knows my heart. But this is what I do know. God has not done everything he has done for us up to this point to leave us to coast into lukewarm mediocrity and float into heaven just scraping by. He has not mobilized so much money on our behalf. He did not put faith into so many other people's hearts. He did not mobilize apostolic leadership to see this church established. He did not speak to some of you about joining the church in those early days and lead us to this point and provide every step of the way, to just leave us in mediocrity, just hoping that we will squeak through into heaven. God has plans for Trinity Church London, amen. He desires to use us. I don't know all that that means for us, but I do know that I am wanting to walk in a new level of leadership boldness that will lead us into all that God has for us. And I am praying that even as I'm talking, something in your heart will say yes. Let us believe for great things for Trinity Church London.
We're with you.
Amen. Paul was ambitious. Did you know that? He was ambitious for the kingdom of God. Chatting with Finney and Heloise last week or 2 weeks ago, I was saying, these guys are ambitious for the kingdom of God. I know, because I chat to them in the quiet of their own home. They're privately plotting the extension of the kingdom, seeking ways to, and I love it. It stirs me. And Paul himself was ambitious. He said that thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation, but as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. He says, he's looking, where are there towns that have churches? And he's like, right, I'm not going there, I'm going over here, because I'm ambitious to see churches planted in all the cities of the Roman Empire and beyond. He had an ambition. So let me ask you, are you thirsty for more of the kingdom of God here with us? Do you want the problems of a church that can't fit people in this room? Because it will be problematical and there will be differences of opinions as to what we should do next. Do you want the problems? Some of you are like, oh, Richard said yes, and you put your hand up for no change. Is that right? Yeah. All right, okay. On that sign, we believe, Lord. Sorry, I've called Richard out. It's a private hand and I've made it public. But I was chatting with Fussy and this week. Fussy helps lead Regions Beyond, our family of churches. And he was talking about what they're doing at City Gates. And the church is remarkable. And the impact that they're having across the nations is amazing. And he was just talking about a certain number that they were hoping to get to, because they felt with all that the Lord was calling them into, they needed to be a certain size because of leadership and finance and strength to be able to do that. And I think we all agree on this, that we as a church, Trinity Church London, we are not yet at fighting weight. Does that make sense? We are not yet. There is more strength financially, spiritually, numerically, leadership-wise, gifts amongst the church to be gained so that we can fulfill all that we are being called to, so that we can take responsibility for the kingdom of God here in London and the nations. Does that make sense? There is more weight to be gained. So let us expect and attempt. And my last point is this. We need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. John, speaking from a river, pointed to Jesus and he said, I'm baptizing in water, but Jesus, when he comes, he's going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. To baptize, as we know, is to immerse, to take you into another spiritual realm so that you don't operate on the principles of the world anymore. You operate on the principles of the Spirit. And Jesus takes believers and he plunges them into the world of the Holy Spirit. He takes us into the life of the Spirit so that we are immersed and all that we see is through the lens of Christ and his kingdom and the Holy Spirit. So that we don't view the world in worldly terms, but we view the world through spiritual terms. Does anyone like swimming here? Anyone, a few people, I love swimming. You know, I don't get to do it enough, but I love swimming because it's so much, you know, faff to actually get to the point where you're in the water. It's just, I'd rather go for a run because you can just go sweat and come back and get to it. But anyway, too much information for this point. Swimming, what I love about swimming is, you know, the moment when you jump in the water and if you've got your goggles on, just that moment where you're in this like whole other world, you know, and everything else just disappears, right? And it's as though you were in this other realm because, in a sense, you are. You're under the water, you're in the water, and you're kind of swimming underneath, and it's amazing. There is something of the life of the Spirit that is gained by being baptized in the Spirit. That means we don't ever look at the world in the same way again. That we don't ever look at our work and our money and our diary in the same way again, because we are immersed in a whole new world. And churches that experience a widening and a deepening and a speeding up of the river of life are those that experience a baptism in the Holy Spirit. Jerusalem changed the Middle East because in a prayer meeting, the Holy Spirit came and baptized 3,000 people in the Holy Spirit. And then they started following Jesus. The church that was started in Samaria changed the regions around it because they experienced baptism in the Holy Spirit. A whole new way of looking at life. The church in Antioch, just a few believers, they'd said yes to Jesus. They were following Jesus, but they hadn't even heard of the Holy Spirit yet. And when Paul said it, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Like, we don't know what the Holy, what does that mean? And that might be some of you here today, like, hey, like, I grew up with Jesus, but what's this baptism in the Holy Spirit thing? And he said, let me pray for you. Laid hands on them, prayed, and the Holy Spirit fell. They started praising God in tongues, and this new liberty and boldness came upon them. Church in Antioch became a sending base for generations after that to come, because they experienced the filling of the Holy Spirit. I know in my own life, I spent a few years following Christ, reading a lot of the Bible and trying really hard to be holy. And then someone told me about the Holy Spirit, and you could be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I remember for a few months, arrogant months, being a bit cross that no one had told me about this Holy Spirit, because I thought, I've been a Christian for about three years and no one's told me about the Holy, like being filled with the Holy Spirit and all these spiritual gifts. So I had to deal with my own like crossness for a while and then think, okay, at that point I was hungry. I was thirsty. Lord, if there is more of you to experience, I want to know you. I want to be filled with you. I want the fullness of all that you have for me. And for us as a church, it is going to require an overflow of our hearts. And then an overflow from us as a church, if we're going to walk into this. Part of us expecting and attempting is saying, Lord, would you fill me? Would you baptize me in the Holy Spirit so that I may overflow, so that we might see life birthed wherever we are? We can't persuade people to become Christians, but those who are filled with the Holy Spirit and walk with conviction and courage and joy and peace and hope through the ups and the downs of life, they can see not just people turned around, but whole cities turned around. And so my question is, are you thirsty? Is there anything in your heart that says, I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? For some of you, you know you have already been, and you have experienced the goodness of God. You have experienced a waterfall of his love over your life. For some of you, you might want to come back to your first love, because you know you have begun to look at the world and the principles of the world and operated on that dimension and tried to see if you can walk with God in those ways. There might be for some this morning a repentance and a coming back to him. For some of you, you've never experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Today is a day where you can simply ask. Do you know what the two qualifications for being filled with the Holy Spirit are? Thirst and asking. You don't have to try. You don't have to be holy today. You don't have to have cleaned yourself up to come to church today. Are you thirsty for him, Jesus says in John 7? And will you just ask, Luke 11? And the Holy Spirit can be gifted to you. Some of you are not sure. I've had some experiences in the past. Was that baptism in the Holy Spirit or was it not? I'm not really sure. I don't know where to put that. I have some experiences like that. Sometimes you don't know where to put those. What matters is today, I want to suggest. Let the past be the past. Today, do you thirst?